You're tuned to 90.5 WICN, Jazz Plus for New England. You can follow us on Facebook and Twitter. Listen online at WICN.org. Good evening, I'm Al Vohner, and this is The Public Eye. Many people do not realize that, we've seen it. We've seen this across the retail spectrum over the last few decades. The small independent businesses that have really run out of steam in lieu or in place of the box stores. Well, that's also happening in the liquor industry. And that's why I invited my guest this week is Robert Mellion, the executive director and general counsel for the Massachusetts Package Store Association. And their work on behalf of small, independently owned liquor stores across the state, the mom-and-pop operations, the first, second, third, and sometimes even fourth generation stores. So for the next half hour, we'll be talking with Rob about his work, his role, and the Mass Package Store Association's work on behalf of these independent liquor stores. Rob, nice to have you with us.
Oh, thank you very much for having me on the program, Al.
I think I defined it pretty clearly. We've seen this in the retail industry. We've seen it in the clothing industry. We've seen it in the jewelry industry, furniture business. Today, it's just everything is box stores. And it's even starting to infringe on the liquor industry. We've seen that as well. But there still seems to be a fair percentage, correct me if I'm wrong, but there still seems to be a fair percentage of small, independently owned package stores. And that's a good thing, right?
Absolutely, and there's a lot of reasons for it. The first one is tied to an amendment in the Constitution, the 21st Amendment. I think a lot of folks listening to the program may not be aware, but the alcohol beverages industry is an industry that was prohibited through the 18th Amendment and then brought back through the 21st Amendment. And the key issue in the 21st Amendment is that the rules and regulations for the reintroduction of alcohol are done locally. They're done through the state, and they're done through the what we call LLAs, local licensing authorities, which are the individual municipalities all across the country. So it's a system that is intentionally designed to support small businesses because small businesses are controllable for the need for public safety in the reintroduction of alcohol. That was the intent in the 20th century. And to your point, what is happening today, similar to what has occurred in other industries, is this push by large corporate interests. Many of them are headquartered outside of the United States. They are coming in and they are taking over. And our problem today is on the public safety side that local municipalities and the states are not set up to adequately police these super corporations. So there's a lot of tensions at play. And it's these super corporations that are looking to reshape the alcohol beverages industry in a way that they make more profit. And, you know, whether it's good or bad for the consumer is a different issue. It's really all about profit for a lot of these corporations. And it's at the detriment to our locally owned businesses that are placed on main streets all across Massachusetts.
And as you were talking about, from a business perspective, and you don't have to have owned a business to understand the fact that if you can buy something cheaper, you can sell it cheaper. So these big box stores are able to buy massive amounts of liquor, whether it be wine, whether it be hard liquor, beers, where the small independents have a disadvantage, right?
Well, they take it a step farther than that. What they do is they create their own private labels, and they use names that make you think that you're buying some nice French Rhone, but it's really a cheaper knockoff private label that is sold almost exclusively by these large corporate interests. And that's the new game that's being played. It's being done by the large restaurant chains. It's being done by now the grocer chains. And it has been for a long time done by the super chains that are multi-state chains on the retail side. And the point is, you know, they can put forward to the public a $30 or a $20 Rhone that looks like it's a Rhone that, you know, you typically have bought for maybe $40, and you're thinking, oh, what a great deal I've got. I can get this for $10 cheaper. Well, caveat emptor, you're buying a cheaper product that just has a fancy name and it's a private label.
Yeah. And I think we've seen
add more profit for the large corporate interest.
Exactly. Now, here's the point where I think some of the listeners may be saying to themselves, well, you know, if that be the case, especially if they're not even U.S. corporations, why doesn't the government step in? And you know from the founding of this country that we believe anyway that there's a separation of state and private industry. But you know, should government even play a larger role in governing, you know, who gets to operate within a state or within a region, or is that just a little too heavy-handed?
Well, the answer is that they have in the past. It's only recently that we've seen this push towards deregulation, and that's because of the entrance of these super corporations. In the past, the industry was mainly small businesses, as I said, regulated by the local authorities and regulated by the states. And what we have seen, particularly in the last two decades, is this influx of large corporate interests. And it's coming from the supplier side. It's coming from the retail side. You know, there are some chains out there that are in 20 states. And what they do is when they come in, when they get a foothold into a state, they deregulate that state through legislation and litigation. And we're just seeing it state after state after state. And that's where it comes in. You know, you want to tie it all into why there's a Massachusetts Package Stores Association. We are an association that was created by the locally owned stores, all headquartered in Massachusetts, to protect these locally owned businesses and to sustain the system that has promoted diversity of product, delivery of a safe product to the public, and prevented illegal sales for almost 80 years. That's what we do every single day, Al.
Yeah, and that's a yeoman's job because, as you said, this movement of large corporations moving in, these box stores, and we'll get into even a little bit more of that, but I just want to take a quick pause to remind listeners, you're tuned to 90.5 WICN, Jazz Plus for New England. You can follow us on Facebook and Twitter. Listen online at WICN.org. I'm Al Voner, and this is this week's edition of The Public Eye. My guest this week is Robert Mellion, Executive Director and General Counsel for the Massachusetts Package Stores Association. And the organization statewide represents small, independently owned liquor stores who really they derive their living. You know, they pay their bills just like you and I do, 7 days a week, 24 hours a day. But it's all due to their business and the livelihood of their business. And Rob, that's where I want to go with this next. I mean, have you seen, I mean, when small independents join the organization, what specifically are they asking you for?
Well, first of all, let me share this. We are about 19,000 jobs in this state, our membership. Our membership is comprised of locally owned stores headquartered in Massachusetts, and that can be subdivided into we have members who are convenience stores who are headquartered in Massachusetts, so not the super chains headquartered in England. Independently owned markets, 15% of our membership are independently owned markets that sell alcohol. You know, a great example is several of the ones out on the Cape. They're members of our association. Mm-hmm. And, of course, liquor stores. So that's our membership. And, you know, what are their interests? They just want to survive. You know, as you said at the beginning of the program, many of these businesses are second and third generation businesses, longtime family businesses that have catered to their communities. They are attached to their communities. They give to the local softball team. They give to the Boys and Girls Clubs. They give to the local churches and to the synagogues and to the mosques. They give to the local community who is having a drive for somebody with cancer. That's, you know, that's part of the attachment. Another great example is there are cleanups going on all across the state, the Pick Up Massachusetts campaign. That's us. We're the ones who are doing that. That is a program through the retail stores across the state that are producing community cleanups. Yes, they're picking up the small liquor bottles, but they're picking up everything else too. I spend actually probably about 5 to 7% of my time throughout the month organizing these cleanups all across the state, because now we're doing about 25 to 30 of them a year. So that's local stores who are doing that. That's not the big box. They don't care.
Right. Right. And it's so sad, though, Rob, to see. I personally, I sat on the Worcester Liquor Board for 8 years, so I know personally many of these, as we talked about, the second, third generations. Many have sold out. Many had no choice, or even to close down, sell the license.
Can I put some numbers into that?
Yeah, please do.
For the past 4 years in a row, over 200 stores in the state have transferred their licenses to somebody else. Add that up. That's 800. You add in over the last 6 years, and over 1,000 stores in the last 6 years have transferred their licenses. That's one-third of the licenses in the state of Massachusetts have transferred, gone from the hands of one person or company and gone into the hands of another. One-third of the licenses have transferred out. Who's buying those licenses? It's the large corporate interests.
Yeah.
That's the transformation. One-third of the licenses have transferred, and that's a sign of Main Street changing. Actually, it's a sign of Main Street becoming vacant.
Yeah. No question about it. And people will say to me, in fact, I've had this question posed to me, well, why doesn't a well-established winery that has a novel wine, a premium wine, why don't they just sell just to those independents, because they know that they'll get that kind of exposure and that special treatment? I'm thinking to myself, well, Jesus, think about it. If you own a winery, if you're a winemaker, you want to sell all that vintage and just get ready for next year. Yeah.
Well, the move by these wineries is direct. What they do is they hire fulfillment houses based God knows where, and they're shipping in. A lot of this stuff is being shipped in illegally into Massachusetts. Yeah. There's a whole illicit trade that's going on right now that is very hard to crack down on because it's done over the Internet. That's one of the reasons why we don't promote Internet sales of alcohol, because it's too hard to track. We only have about 21 inspectors in Massachusetts. There are smaller states with double the number of inspectors.
Yeah.
And you just can't physically track all of the illicit activity that's going on. And I think listeners need to understand, this is the industry that created organized crime. I hate to say it, but you look back at your 1920s,
yeah,
and you look back at those old films of people driving around their Model T's with machine guns. what were they smuggling and moving around? It was alcohol.
Wasn't the term bootleggers?
There you go. Exactly. That's what we're policing, and people have forgotten the public safety aspect,
right?
Because everything today is about convenience, and I think that is lost, particularly when we're talking with legislators and officials. There's a disconnect. We have forgotten why we do this. One of our biggest problems today, Al, is, again, tied to the issue of the Internet, is policing third-party delivery of alcohol. It's a big problem,
yeah.
And it's because you don't know where the point of sale began. You don't know who's transporting the alcohol, because these companies don't have permits to transport the alcohol, which is ludicrous.
Yeah.
Liquor stores have to have a permit. It's
exactly.
Called a Section 22 permit.
Right.
But these third-party delivery companies don't have the permits. And if you don't know how the sale originated to begin with, you don't know how to police it. And then the other problem is that a lot of these companies are based out of state or out of country, so the local authorities and the state don't have jurisdiction to go after them unless they can get reciprocity with another state, and good luck with that.
So that many of these sales then that you're talking about in this manner, in this fashion, could be done by a 15-year-old, a 16-year-old, people who are underage,
it's
right?
It's happening.
Yeah.
State House News reported it. Commonwealth Magazine reported it. It's happening.
Mm.
And we've testified to the fact. I remember providing Governor Healey with 19 exhibits of illicit activity in recent testimony. I mean, it's happening. And we need to do something to police it, because the push is ever, ever more deregulation at the expense of small businesses. But I'm going to tell you flat out, the real expense is to the public with public safety.
Yeah.
As we deregulate, we open up the door for illicit activity. Now, many of us, we're older. We don't care, in the sense that, we're over 21. It doesn't really impact us, but it impacts our children.
Sure.
It impacts our grandkids. It impacts a whole group of people out there who have figured things out and know how to make a transaction on the internet quite faster than we can.
Oh, without a doubt. Without a doubt. And something, I want to go back to something you mentioned because I think it's very interesting.
And I was just going to say, because stores are the gatekeepers against these illegal sales.
Right.
And the local store has an interest in this because if they get closed down by a local licensing authority or the ABCC, if they get closed down with a suspension for 3 days, that's their entire profit for the year.
Exactly. Yeah.
Their incentive.
It's funny because I remember many times having to, as heart-wrenching as it is, and maybe it wasn't even the owner. Maybe it was the late-night shift. Somebody just was lax and asking for an ID, but you're exactly right. And closing for 3 days, sometimes more, was a real kick in the in the teeth, as they say.
That's intended to be. That's the point. And that's what I was trying to distinguish here is that for a super corporation, it's not even a slap on the wrist. They laugh at it. Like, here's your $30,000. Leave me alone.
Yeah, right. Exactly. They get deep pockets so that they can afford
that's
to do
that.
That's
a fine in lieu of suspension, yeah. $30,000 $100,000. It's nothing to these corporations.
What kind of a response do you get when you approach the governor or any legislator for that matter? I mean, do you just get lip service or do they want to take a more aggressive stance?
Truthfully, it depends upon the individual.
Yeah.
I've seen some changes that are concerning in the last few years. I've observed changes. I have to say the push by large corporate interests and the money that is flowing into Massachusetts and other states, because I'll tell you too, I wear a couple of hats. One is that I'm executive director, general counsel to the Massachusetts Package Stores Association. I'm also vice chair of government affairs to the National Association that represents all the liquor stores and the taverns across the country. That's the ABL, the American Beverages Licensees.
Mm-hmm.
And I also help run the legal committee for the national organization, too. We're seeing these trends that are happening in Massachusetts. They're happening all across the country. And again, I tie it to deregulation. And I hate to say this, but one of the influences is the push to deregulate cannabis.
Right.
So that's having an impact because as we look at these products as non-threatening, it's easier to say, third-party delivery, what's it really going to do?
Yeah.
And then there's this other push. People, or I should say government, looks to alcohol, looks to cannabis for revenue.
Right.
And with local communities, particularly on the cannabis side, with the local compacts that are negotiated, it's more revenue. So there becomes a decision, do we care about the revenue or do we care about public safety? And I hate to say it, but revenue has been winning more frequently than public safety in the last few years. I'm trying to think of a time that I can tell you to your listeners of when a cannabis company has been convicted of illegal activity in the state of Massachusetts.
Yeah, I haven't heard of it.
I can't come up with one.
Yeah, I agree with you.
You're going to tell me there's been no illegal sales of cannabis in Massachusetts?
And ironically, Robin, I think you'd remember this back in the 70s. I mean, back in my high school days, I can remember if you carried a nickel bag, that was a violation of law. And as you said, we've seen such a relaxation of those. So in other words,
can I give you an example?
Yeah, please. Yeah,
very
sure.
Quickly. In Massachusetts, the rules and regulations for buying alcohol are that a store can only rely on six forms of ID: a Massachusetts driver's license, a Massachusetts liquor purchasing ID card, which nobody sees anymore because they're more expensive than an ID card, Massachusetts ID card. I keep saying Massachusetts for a reason. A passport from anywhere in the world, but only a Massachusetts ID card. A U.S. military ID as well. So these are your forms of ID that you can use, and a U.S. passport card. These are your six forms of ID that you can use to purchase alcohol in Massachusetts that a store can rely on. For cannabis, any government-issued ID a store can rely on.
Hmm.
Any government-issued ID.
That's scary, to say the least. That is scary. So will this trend?
That's a distinguishing fact, and that's a demonstration of the deregulation that's happening.
If they're so lax with the cannabis, and yet they're you know, they want to be heavy-handed with the liquor industry. What does that tell you? I mean, as you said, money's flowing in, but does that mean that eventually the liquor industry will have to ante up more money?
The numbers, cannabis has been sold in Massachusetts, what, for about 6 years now?
Yeah.
So the excise taxes brought in for alcohol are about $110 million a year. Mm-hmm. Cannabis, I think it's pushing close to $200 million in excise taxes to the state.
Wow. Okay, that says it all right there.
And we're an industry that's been going since 1933. They're an industry that's been going for 6 years.
Unbelievable. It's just so Rob, it breaks down to, like you said earlier, it's all about the money.
I didn't say that. You did.
Well, okay. I mean, but you know, when they look, you know, when a government looks at these kinds of numbers and they say, look, we've done it 6 years. We've doubled the revenue from this one industry that we couldn't do for decades with the liquor industry.
It's important to – I'm bringing all this to your attention because the reason why the alcohol beverages industry has thrived for almost eight decades is because there's been a balance that has been maintained mm-hmm. between public safety and consumer interest.
Right.
That balance is out of whack right now, and it is tilted now towards public or towards consumer interest. And there's going to be a payday coming, and we're already starting to see it. I was reading this morning about the changes in public consumption of alcohol. We are drinking harder today. In fact, I was reading an article tied to this one about a month ago that was demonstrating how Americans are consuming more hard alcohol today than they were before the Civil War.
Mm. Interesting.
And that's when alcohol consumption in the United States was at its peak.
Yeah.
Well, we're now at the peak. We're at a new peak. And it's the first time since the reintroduction of alcohol after Prohibition. And what's happening is that people are drinking harder today. 31% of Americans are consuming hard alcohol, spirits, on a regular basis. That's their alcohol of choice versus beer or wine.
Right.
They've declined. And hard alcohol, through the introduction of what we call RTDs, ready to drink cocktails, you know, cocktails in a can, basically. You've seen them all over the place.
Right.
That's our industry. That's our industry pushing a very cheap to produce product that's convenient to the public. And they're trying to get it sold in grocery stores, in convenience stores, and of course in liquor stores.
And you get
get it out there.
And you get your buzz at a bargain.
It's cheap.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, exactly.
That's the idea.
That's scary. Out. That's a scary prognosis and I know that you keep very close tabs on these things, and I know that this thing is really happening. In the final few moments that we have, I got to ask you. So, on behalf of the association, I mean, obviously, this is a major concern for the package stores, right?
It is, and it's because again, these are family-run stores. They're tied to Main Street all across the state of Massachusetts. They're the folks who, when you're looking for something unique, they're the ones who get it for you.
Right. Right.
And they're also, as I said, the gatekeepers against illegal sales. They're the ones preventing intoxicated individuals from consuming alcohol bought from the store. They're preventing drunk driving. They are the ones who are preventing youth from getting their hands on alcohol. You know, the cute little trick during the pandemic was kids would spray paint their hair, put a mask on, and try to go into a store looking like an elderly person.
Oh, jeez.
But it's stores that stop this stuff.
Yeah.
And it's very important that we keep these stores intact. It's very important that, you know, if we want to have the diversity of product, you know, the big chains, they'll have more stuff. But like I said earlier with you, it's their private labels. While at the same time, they're carrying basically the same 30, 20 SKUs of each type of product line, each channel of product line. But you're not getting the unique roan or the unique whiskey, the bourbon that you're looking for. You're getting what they want to sell you.
Exactly.
We're losing that. We're potentially losing all that. And on the state side, we're losing the ability to control these companies. and police them adequately, which is important because our industry requires sustainability through adequate regulation, because this is not water we're selling.
Exactly.
It's alcohol.
Exactly.
And, if you drink too much of this stuff, it can hurt you.
I know that.
If you drink the wrong stuff, it can hurt you.
Exactly.
And the last thing I just want to say, Al, very quickly on this, you buy alcohol over the internet, public safety tip here. You don't know what you're buying.
True.
And this is, again, an industry that we had prohibition for a reason. So you buy over the internet, you buy something on Craigslist, or you buy something off of eBay, alcohol off of eBay, God knows what you're getting.
You got that right. No, thank you. Rob, real quick, because I do have to wrap up. If people want to reach out to you directly or to the association, how might they do that?
Easiest thing to do is to go to our website, www.masspack.org. So mass, M-A-S-S, pack, P-A-C-K, not an accident, we do that, .org, or info@masspack.org.
And I would urge people, back, and I know there's a lot of wine lovers out there, many of them WICN listeners, I know love their brews on the weekend, and do frequent local retail package stores. As Rob said, reach out to the organization. They can give you all the information you want, and the need to support small independent liquor stores across the Commonwealth of Massachusetts.
You support your independently owned store. You're supporting your community because
absolutely.
They're tied to the community.
Absolutely. Couldn't put it any better myself. Any questions about the broadcast, you can certainly give us a call here at the studios at WICN. Our main number is 508-752-0700. You can pose any comments, questions, or feedback to me directly. That's Al Vona, V-U-O-N-A, at WICN.org. For the public eye, this is Al Vona. Thank you so much for tuning in.